can receive this morning, that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of your word. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's our theme verse for this series. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. Hear what Paul says. 2 Timothy 3, 15. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto what?
Salvation.
Which is through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Now, from a child would mean from when he set out as a saint. Right? Not really when he was born. Yes, and that from a child would mean, and from when you began out or set out as a saint, thou hast known that the holy scriptures, the word there holy is the word that speaks about sacred, something that is unique or designated for a particular purpose. Yeah, so when you say the Holy Spirit, it simply means that the Spirit of God that is designated for a particular purpose. So when you say scriptures, it means that the writings that are what? When you say Holy Scriptures, rather, it is the writings that are designated for a particular purpose. Now, the sacredness of scriptures is for a purpose, and they are able to what? Make thee wise. The word there, wise, is the word that speaks about being skillful. That the word, so it says, they're able to make thee skillful. Pertaining, the word there unto is the word concerning, yes, regarding. So, which are able to make thee skillful pertaining salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So, this is a fundamental knowledge a saint must have, that scriptures are to make wise unto what? Salvation. So the fulcrum of scriptures is salvation. So the stories of scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, would be a combination of various stories talking about a story of salvation. Did you get that? Are we here? Yeah, the various stories in the Bible, in the book of Genesis to Malachi, will be various stories knit around salvation. How do we know this? Look at Luke's Gospel 24. Look at Luke's Gospel 24. Luke's Gospel 24, verse 24. "And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found..." What's the word sepulchre there? What's the word sepulchre? Where one is buried? Or tomb, right? So it's to be better word? Yeah, so I think most Christians can relate with the word tomb, right? Yeah, so... "And certain of them which were with us went to the tomb and found it even so." That means, so they found what? The tomb, right? Is that true? "Even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not." Right? Then look at verse 25. "Then Jesus said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets..." Hold on. Paul told Timothy, the writings of the prophets are to make thee wise unto salvation. What did Jesus tell them? "You are foolish," because what does it mean to be foolish? Someone that is not thinking deep. Yeah, "slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Then what did Jesus do? He now tells them what the summary of what the prophets spoke regarding what their confusion was at the time. What were they confused about? From verse 21, we will see that they were concerned about how he was supposed to rise to redeem Israel. Right? So he says, "Oh fools, you are not thinking deep concerning what the prophet said." Because in the process of thinking deep, there is something that will be birthed, or something will be born in you, which is what you will believe. But they were in unbelief. Yeah? So, "and beginning at Moses and all the prophets," the next verse. Okay, go back to the previous verse 26 first. So, the summary of the writings of the prophet is what? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. So, Jesus says unto them, "These things that you see, ought not Christ to have suffered them and to enter into his glory?" So, he leaves the question mark there. Do you understand what that means? It means that these things you are seeing should not be shocking to you. Christ ought to have suffered these things that you see and enter into his glory. So, Jesus now went on a task to make them on fools. What did he do? Next verse now says, and beginning at what? Moses. So, did he start saying, Moses, 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 Moses? What's beginning at Moses? The writings of Moses. Now, the writings of Moses is what you call the beginning of the Bible. So Moses is the beginning of the Bible and started the writing of the Bible with the word in the beginning. Are we together? So he says, and beginning. So when you see beginning at Moses, in the real sense, what Jesus is saying is beginning at the beginning. Are we together? Because Moses is the beginning of scriptures. So beginning at the beginning, then all the what? Prophets. He expounded unto them in what? All the scriptures, things concerning himself. Now, the scriptures or the Bible or the scriptures, so to say, are books that are to make you wise unto salvation. That means they are to point you to a person who offers salvation. However, not everything written in scriptures. Are we here? You know, in the quest of trying to bring out Jesus from anywhere, everywhere, we begin to see very interesting things. Yeah, the stones that David picked. How many stones did David pick? 5. How do you spell Jesus? J-E-S-U-S. How many letters is that? 5. How do you spell grace? G-R-A-C-E. How many letters is that? 5. 5 is the number of grace. So David picked 5 stones, which symbolizes grace. How many stones did he use to kill David? Kill Goliath? 1. So it's only J. That means all you need to pray is in the name of J. Father Lord will give you all the praise in the name of J. So in the quest of bringing now, you don't have to try, and if you don't properly see it explained across, which is why we're doing series like this, or which is why we did a series starting from investigating scriptures, to show a template as to how to explain. Are we together? Are we together? So you don't say, David picks 5 stones, J. So what happened to E-S-U-S? Jesus is Jesus today because that word has been translated to English. Right? The English word for Jesus is Jesus, but the Hebrew word for Jesus is what? It's more than 5 letters. That's why I always say something. Teach to the degree the Bible teaches. Nobody in the entire epistles of Jesus says that 5 is the number of grace. They were in the month of May now. As you step into the 5th month, there's a 5th anointing. 5 is the number of grace. How do you spell devil, please? D-E-V-I-L. How do you spell Satan, please? S-A-T-A-N. How do you spell demon, please? D-E-M-O-N. How do you spell thief? T-H-I-E-F. How do you spell what again? Yeah? So when you say grace, number 5, grace. What's your favorite number? It's 5. Why do you find 5? Because 5 is the number of grace. It's not taught in scriptures. Okay? So Jesus says, Bible says that beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now look at verse 44. Then Jesus said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. What is while I was yet with you? Before my crucifixion. Yes, that all things must be fulfilled which are written, really, were written in the writings of who? Moses. And in the who? Prophets. And in the Psalms. Go to John 1:45 quickly. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, behold, Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom? Moses. So when he says Moses in the law, will that be Moses in the law or Moses in his writings? Writings, right? Yeah. We've established that law is not always 10 commandments. Yeah. So we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write about. Who did they write about? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the son of who? Joseph. So it means that even though in the book of Moses or in the books of Moses, you won't see the word Jesus, they wrote about Jesus. Are we together? Look at what Jesus says about himself. Look at John 5:39. John chapter 5, verse 39. He says, ye search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life. And they are what? They which testify of me. That means the testimony of scriptures is a person, even though the person's name is not mentioned in scriptures. Let's see what Jesus says in verse 45. Do not think I have come to accuse you, even as Moses did. But if you had relieved, right? Look at verse 46. Let's read verse 46 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Nope. Everybody together. 1, 2, 3, go. So what? So hold on, saints. So it means that Jesus is accusing them of unbelief, not in what Jesus himself said, but in what Joseph or Moses said, rather. Did you get that? Let me say it again. Jesus is accusing them for unbelief, not in what he has said, but in what Moses said. So, Luke 24, why was he accusing them for unbelief? What he said or what Moses said? What Moses and the prophet said. So he says that if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. But if you believe not his writing, how shall ye believe my words? Right? If you believe not, that means if you don't believe Moses' writings, how will you believe his words? So it means that believing Moses' writings is believing Jesus' words. And if you believe Jesus' words, you must believe Moses' writing. Are we here?
Yes.
Are we here? In believing Jesus' words, you must believe the writings of Moses and the prophets. Now, let's take it back a little. Now, the Bible, you know, the first person to write about God's promise in the Bible is who? Moses. Yeah, so the first person to write about God's promise in scriptures is who?
Moses.
Beautiful, Moses did. Right? So it means that every other writer, if they're going to write about God's same promise, would also refer to Moses. Are we here? Are we here? Now, let's give a few examples. So, other writers, they would have taught their immediate of... Now, let me ask a question. In the time of someone like Ezekiel, was Moses still alive? In the time of someone like Ezekiel, Isaiah, was Moses still alive? But was Moses still alive? Beautiful. He was alive in his writings. So, it means that Ezekiel still had Moses alive in his time, even though Moses was dead. Are we here? Let's see a few examples. So it means that, so the list of the Bible, how many of us know how to sing that song? How many of you went to good Sunday schools? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, First Kings, 17. It's not by singing it. What does Joshua say? That's the point. You can know the scripture. You know that there's nothing wrong in going to your table of content when you want to open Bible. So it was like for me. No, Pastor must not know. I don't know where Nahum is. Pastor must not know. So when you realize that everybody is looking at you and you've said the scriptures, yet you've not found it, you just put to Nehemiah. You never been Nehemiah. I just be, wow. But the only thing you are following is what they are reading. You don't have to impress anybody. If you don't know where Nahum is, you don't know. Before you know it, some of you now use the excuse of projector. You will look at it as if you know where it is. And once you just Steve, it'll be fast now, project this thing. There's nothing wrong in going, as long as you know how to explain scriptures. Are we together? As long as you know how to explain it, that's the most important thing. See, you can even know all the pages of all the books of the Bible and yet not know what the Bible is saying. Are we together?
Yes.
Yeah, so the most important thing is to give yourself wholly to study. Now, let's look at a few examples. So, it means that Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they are the first five books of the Bible. Right? So, it would mean that Joshua to Malachi would have their background in those five books. Did you get that? Joshua to Malachi would have, that name is Joshua, Judges, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, Chronicles, Psalms, Job, Esther, Ruth. they would have their background some way, somehow, in Moses' writings. Right? Now, let me ask you a question. It will now mean that in Moses' writing, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, we have a background also. What would be their background? Genesis! Where was Moses born? Exodus chapter 1, 2, 3. That means everything that happened in Genesis, Moses was not there. He was told. So, Moses born in Exodus will be writing to a people in Exodus. Yeah, in quotes. And he'll be writing Genesis to them. So, Jesus said that Moses wrote about me. So, it means that in the writings of Moses, Moses used the stories that ideally the people of Exodus would have known. Right? Because in the real sense, people in Genesis were their great grandfathers. Are we following? Yes? The people in Genesis, Abraham was their father. Abraham, it was from that lineage, the Israelites. So he would write Genesis to Exodus congregation. Right? And Exodus congregation will study Genesis. Now, what will be the foundation? So, what is the foundation of Genesis? What will be the foundation of... Okay. What is the foundation of Joshua to Malachi? Genesis to Deuteronomy. What's the foundation of Exodus to Deuteronomy? Genesis. What is the foundation of Genesis? Hold on. Okay, she said oral tradition. Oral tradition is the word I was trying to remember yesterday. Oral tradition is the means by which the stories were communicated. So how do you know about your great-grandfather who you've never seen? Someone told you, or someone told your dad, or your dad told you, and you will tell your children. What is the foundation of Exodus to Deuteronomy? We answered it already. Just say it again. What is the foundation of Exodus to Deuteronomy? What is the foundation of Genesis? Moses wrote Genesis with the people in mind. So what will be the foundation of Genesis? Exodus! Did you get that? I gave you the answer. Did you get that? Did you get that? Oh, yeah. Some of you get it when you get home. It's fine. Genesis is the foundation of Exodus. So that is why Moses will use words that were already in existence in Exodus to write Genesis. Why? Because the Exodus congregation will relate. Are we following? This is what I was teaching yesterday about the image of God. Now, we said that the image is a word that was used in Egypt to represent a physical being, or using a physical being to represent a spiritual or that which is unseen. Are we together? So, that same word. So, in the real sense, Moses now uses that same word of the Exodus congregation to write about an image in Genesis 1. And by extension, that image is speaking of divinity seen amidst humanity. Did you get that? That Jesus made flesh. Now follow attentively, okay? So we'll discover in this season actually why the reason of Genesis is Exodus. But we just went to the end before. But let's see a few examples. Let's look at Moses. Look at Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. Moses is writing. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 13, 30, verse 15. Deuteronomy is in the Old Testament books. Look at Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. We'll read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Now, if you remember our first series, you know, because a lot of us might not have been here when we did investigating scriptures, so I'm going to go back a lot to re-explain certain things. There was a figure of speech we exhaustively taught in investigating scriptures that speaks about someone being present in an activity yet totally absent. What's the name of that figure of speech? Ah, beautiful. You remember, right? So, metonymy, how do you pronounce it? She's always correcting me. So, how do you pronounce it? Metonymy. Did I get it? Right? Okay, beautiful. So, metonymy. So, it's a figure of speech that is used with one's name involved, yet that person is totally absent. So, for instance, if I live in the same house with Sister is married. Brother Temi and Brother Joseph. Are we together? And everybody knows, let me not say Brother Joseph is a thief, everybody knows I'm a thief. Right? And Brother Timmy and Joseph, they've been trying to time me. But Brother Joseph and Brother Timmy want to give me the last warning. And Brother Timmy just walks into the house one day. Say, brethren, come, let's talk. Let's talk. And Brother Timmy now says, see, we notice that we have been stealing from ourselves. Hold on. We know, they know I'm the thief, oh. See, we notice we have been stealing amongst ourselves. Please let us all stop stealing from ourselves now. What did they say? What did he say? Let us. We need to stop we. But in saying we, ideally in English language, they are involved. But that figure of speech entails that they are totally absent. That's the same thing with the figure of speech, what you call the wrath of God. Even though God's name is mentioned in the phrase wrath of God, he is totally absent from the actions. Why? Because wrath is a fruit of the flesh. For God to be spirit and operate in a fruit of the flesh, it means that we need to check out something properly. Are we together? So when you say wrath of God, it means that God says, for instance, go right. You decide to go left. Right? In going left, armed robbers attack you. What we will call that attack is the wrath of God. In the reasons, what did God do? Nothing. You got a recompensation for your disobedience. Are we here? Are we here? So now when you see this, God set before the life and good, right? And death and evil. What is God really setting before you? Life and good. What is the repercussion for not receiving life and good? Did you get that? Did you get that? What does God really set? Life and good. What is the repercussion that you get from if you don't receive life and good? Death and evil. Follow attentively. Now, the audience that Moses wrote to in Deuteronomy, are they the same audience he wrote Genesis to? The audience that Moses wrote Deuteronomy to, were they the same audience he wrote Genesis to? Yeah. What changed? The same people. It was towards Deuteronomy that you now see the handover to Joshua. Are we together? Are we together? So it means that the same audience that Moses wrote to Deuteronomy or wrote Deuteronomy to in the real sense or from, really from their experience, yes, it will be the same people. Now, what did Jesus say? If you believe Moses, you would have believed me. So yet in the writing of Moses in Deuteronomy, he wrote about a person. Are we here? Are we here? Now, let's look at three examples from this verse. Let's look at the word good and evil. Now, the first mention of the word good is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 4. Run there quickly. Genesis 1, verse 4. So we're dealing with life and good. Right? Genesis 1, 4. And God saw the light that it was what? It was what? Good. Look at verse 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called it what? Seas. And God saw that it was what? Good. Look at verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs yielding seed. Hold on. Hold on. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs yielding seed. When you say yielding seed, what should be next when you want to talk about a kind? After, did you get what I'm saying? Yeah. So what should be there? So after it. After what? Its kind. What did Moses write? That means Moses writing about a person. You don't say, this plant, you are he. You will bring more forth fruit after his kind. So it means that for Moses to write seed and write grass, your mind must not be carried away by what he uses to explain the him. What did Jesus say? If you believe Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Anybody lost here? No. We're following, right? Yeah? So, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after... So if you are taught that Moses made a mistake with the first his, what of the second one? There's a way they used to say that thing. Fool me once, Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, mumu me or something. That's the Nigerian version. Yeah. After, okay, fool me twice, shame on you. No, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Okay. After his kind, and God saw good. Now, the other place, look at verse 18. Let me give you the other place. Use verse 18, verse 21, verse 25, and let's go to 31. I'll get it again. The word good was used in Genesis 1, in verse 4, verse 10, verse 12, 18, 21, 25, and 31. So let's go to 31. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the what? Sixth day. Hold on. Did God really create the heavens and the earth? Yes. Never hear what I didn't say. Yes. Who created the heavens and the earth? It is God. But the Bible is not to teach you about that type of creation, but a type of creation. Are we together? Yeah. The Bible is to make you wise on that. What is salvation? Salvation means the new birth. Yes. Salvation means the new creation, the new creatures. So the Bible is to make thee wise concerning the new creation, not God's creation. Did you get that? Did you get that? Did you get that? Can you really get wise about God's creation? Yes, you can by reading Genesis, but that's not the goal of Moses' writings. And let me tell you something. If you are not careful, you will get lost in reading just Genesis 1 to 50. Because you, that's why, have you not heard people teach about how, have you heard about the gap theory? How many of you have heard about the gap theory? That there were 2,000 years, at, I mean 6,000 years between Genesis 1 and Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. You've not heard about the theory? Do you know why you need to start going to those theories? It is because you think that scriptures are to make you wise concerning the formation of the earth. Are we here or have we gone on? Beautiful. So we've looked at the word good. Remember, we're dealing with Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. And Moses says that God says, I have set before you life and good. Now look at good. Now let's look at good and evil. Look at Genesis 2, 9. Good and evil. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is sister pleasant to the sight. Right? And good for food, the tree of life. Is there a mention of life there? Right? So, who wrote life here? And who wrote life in Deuteronomy 30? Moses. So, there's the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of what? Knowledge of what? Good and evil. Let me first of all tickle your fancy small. How can there be a tree called tree of knowledge and evil? So it means that you go to transport for your buffet, or you go to transport for a dinner, and the service people come and say, what do you want? So give me a well blended mix of apple with mangoes and squeeze, sprinkle a little orange in it, and just put a little knowledge of good and evil. Moses wrote about a garden. Is that true? Is that true? Moses wrote about a tree of life. Is that true? Moses wrote about a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Is that true? But was it literal? Jesus said, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for you wrote of me. Look at verse 17, Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of knowledge of what? Good and evil. In fact, that word is actually more used than good evil, which we'll look at in this series. Yes? Thou shalt not eat of it. So, would the tree be a tree or be a knowledge? Would the tree of good evil be a tree or be a knowledge? So, is the tree of life going to be a tree? Or knowledge. Follow. So, can you plant life in your garden? Imagine there was a plant called life. Eh? You just be seeing old men around that 500 years. Okay, when will you go and rest now? Yeah, because they're taking all the old space. Right? But there is no tree you can plant and say this is a tree of life. But Moses used a tree to speak to his audience. Follow attentively. Look at chapter 3. Okay, no, hold on. He says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good evil, thou shalt not eat of it. So if the tree is about a knowledge, is the eating about a feeding of the mouth or feeding of the heart? Where is knowledge and evil deciphered? In your mouth or your heart? Hold on. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, I will kill you. Is that what it says? Is that what it says? Is that what it says? Did he say I'll kill you? What did he say? Thou shalt surely die. What did God put in front of Adam and Eve in quotes? Life and good. What did Jesus do in this? Or what did God do in this? He gave them a notification of what will happen if they reject. Are we together? Are we together? Look at chapter 3. So look at what it says in verse chapter 3, verse 15. Verse 5, sorry. 3, 5. And God doth know that in the day ye eat of, then your eyes shall be what? And ye shall be as what? Gods, knowing what? Good and evil. So that's where the words good and evil were used by Moses. What are we explaining? What book of the Bible are we explaining? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. Now let's look at the word not good. Look at Genesis 2:18. Back to Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Now, we said this in last week's teaching, that if you think that this help meet here is a woman, then you would be thinking out of the boundaries of Moses' writings. Are we together? Is it good for a man to be alone? It can be good. It can be good sometimes. Was Paul not alone? Or see, my brother, there's a favor in your life that you will not experience without finding your woman. What did the Bible say? Proverbs. He that finds. Yeah, you know, people even teach that verse the opposite way. He says, it's not the woman that finds, it's the man that finds. Did I say you should go and find? He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And he obtained, my brother. There is a favor that God puts on your life, but a woman needs to come to activate it. And when she comes with the favor, it comes with the flavor. Even without the Savior. Oh, preach it. I've not heard someone say, that, you know, a good husband is the reward God gives to a woman that serves him in his in her teenage age. You've not heard that? Yeah? Preserve yourself. Keep yourself. For God is preparing a man for you. Are we together? Yes, are we together? Paul teaches what the criteria of getting into a relationship involves. Are you of the same Christian faith? Right? Are you open to learn God's word? Yeah. Do you have the fruit of the Spirit, love, and where do you have joy, peace, and all of those things, long suffering? So if you read Moses when he says, I will make him an help meet, we'll look at that in one of the series in one of the episodes in this series, right? Yeah, so I'll make for him a help meet, but there is not good. So not good will be opposite of good, right? So hold your thoughts there. Let's look at life. So we looked at good. Is that true? Have we looked at good and evil? Yes. Have we looked at not good? Now let's look at life. Look at verse 9 of that same chapter, Genesis 2:9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. So Moses begins to write a story about a garden that has a tree of life in the midst. Are we here? Who is Moses writing about? A person. So it means that in the writings of Moses about trees, he's not talking about trees. Are we here? Are we here? Moses used trees to communicate a person. Your attention must not remain with what? Trees. Look at verse chapter 3, verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So it means that the tree of life, follow please, it means that the tree of life found in the midst of the garden, when eaten, will live forever. Did you get that? Is that in the Bible? Mm-hmm. The tree of life, when eaten, right? You will live forever. What is that thing that you will eat that will make you live forever? It cannot be a physical fruit. Are we together? Now hold your thoughts here and go to the book of Mark 7 verse 13. Beautiful. Look at Mark 7, 13. Remember, Jesus said in Luke 24, 44, if you believe my words, the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you are the words which must be fulfilled that Moses and the prophets did what? Speak about. So let's read verse 13 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 14, together, 1, 2, 3, go. What does it mean? It says, pay attention, every one of you, and understand. Let's continue verse 15 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Where do you think Moses and Jesus is teaching from? Moses. Is that true? There was a tree of life. Is that not true?
Yeah.
What did Jesus say? Nothing from outside a man can enter into a man's mouth. How do we know his mouth? Don't sleep. Right? Don't sleep. Everybody say, I will not sleep.
I will not sleep.
For sleep,
sleep
is not a fruit
of
the Spirit. And my God, neither sleeps, nor slumber. And God lives in me. So it means that when you're even sleeping, God is not asleep. Right? There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. Look at verse 16. Let's collectively read together. 1, 2, 3, go. So in the parabolic speakings of Jesus, there were deeper things that he meant. What did he leave it? You know, that's how elders talk. A word is in, is that not equal to a word is enough for the wise? My son, friends don't want you to progress in life. A word is enough for the wise. Those simpler words will make you think, which of my friends does this man know? Or your father says, if you have ears, let him hear. Now look at verse 17. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. That means Jesus, what Jesus spoke was a parable. Are we together? It's parables you end with. Let he that has ears. Yeah. What disciples do? You know when you're outside, you have big emoji. Out! Same thing like Nicodemus. When everywhere is dark, come and message. Pastor, you know that time when you asked, do you understand? I said, yes, but I don't understand. No. How do you link Genesis to Exodus, sir? Yeah? They went to ask him concerning the parable. Now see what Jesus said. I don't want us to read it, but let's read it. Verse 18. And he said unto them, are you also without understanding also? You know, that's a way of polishing. Are you stupid? You know, another translation will say, don't you reason deep? Which is what he actually called them in Luke 24, are you, oh fools? So, instead of him affirming their foolishness, he just asks their foolishness in form of a question. Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive? The word they perceive, is it by your nose? No. Do you not sense? You see. What do you sense with? Your mind. Right? Yeah. Let me say this. You know, sometimes, you know, we'll grow in these things. You know, when you're ministering in things of the spirit, for instance, you know, you don't say, something dropped in my spirit. The only thing that's perfect about your life is spirit. Yes, something is dropping inside. May nothing drop in your spirit, though. You know what it is? Something drop in your spirit. I know they understand it, you know, is English lexicon and all those things, yeah? But, you know, you can rather say, I perceive or I sense. Not something drops in your spirit. Something drops in your spirit. You are not saved again, no. Are we together? So, do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without, where is without? Outside. Entering into a man cannot defile him. Let's read verse 19 together. 1, 2, 3, go. What does that mean? Whatever you eat that enters your mouth does not go to your heart. It goes to your where? How many of you, your mouth are connected to your heart? As soon as you just eat 1 yam, like your heart just boom. Where's your heart, your mouth connected to? Your stomach. Where's your stomach connected to? Mm-hmm. But pick it out from there. Are we together? Glory to God. So, it doesn't enter your heart, but enters your where? Belly. Then it goes out into, the word there, drought is where? Toilet now. Purging all meat. Look at verse 20. And he said, that which cometh out of a man, that is what defiles the man. So what defiled Adam? Was it by Adam eating with his mouth or eating with his heart? What defiled Adam, please? What did Jesus say? If you still say that what Adam ate with his mouth is what defiled him, the question I will ask you is, are you so also without understanding? Are we following? Go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. Or look at chapter 3, verse 22. That's where we're, sorry. Genesis 3, 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become one of us to know good and evil, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the what? The what? And what? So it means that anybody that eats of the tree of life will live forever. Are we here? Anybody that eats of the tree of life will live forever. How would that eating be done? With the mouth or with the heart? Because Jesus said, if you still say with your mouth, then it looks like you don't have. Why? Because whatever you eat does not affect your heart. Are we together? That's why it's interesting. Maybe with people that wear tattoos, they are going to FIR. There is nothing that you do with your body that disqualifies the mark that he has put in your heart. For you to be unsaved, you have to tear your body up, tear your heart up, and locate the spirit. Before you locate it, you'll be dead. And before you died, you're already saved. Are we here? Just go and rest. You rest in peace and yet in pieces. Because you have cut pieces out of your body. So how do you eat from the tree of life? You don't eat from the tree of life by what you put in your mouth, but by what the posture of your heart says. What did Jesus say? If you have ears, better hear. Are we together? So who has eaten of the tree of life here today? Hallelujah. So we have eaten of that tree of life. Hold on, look at verse 24. And the Lord, so God drove out the man. Oh, look at this carefully. Yeah, you know, some of you, the story you have about Adam and Eve and the garden is like there was one garden and God now planted leaves and Adam was naked with Eve. Did I say that's not what it is? No, I was just naked. And as soon as Adam just... God now came to the garden and said, Adam, Where are you? He never started hiding. And he said, God knows everything. So it means that God asking where are you doesn't mean he wasn't aware of where they were. Are we together? Are we together? Now, let me now ask you a question. Let me not ask this question now. You might flog me. Right? So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden. Hold on. So was there a Garden of Eden? Was there a Garden of Eden? See, in this series, don't answer anyhow. Don't answer anyhow because we'll be all right. Was there a Garden of Eden? Yeah. So, and God placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. What is the tree of life about? A person and what he offers? Salvation. Hold your thoughts. Now, we've looked at good, looked at evil, we've looked at life. Let's look at death. Look at the first mention of death in Genesis 2:17. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt what? Surely what? Die. So look at me, everybody. Look at me, everybody. If I say, Bratemi, right? Go out to the road. Yeah? But don't cross the road. Or if I say, where's the busiest express in Abuja? Nikon Junction? Okay, that express. So if I say, this junction? Area 1 beggar is busy. I say, Bratemi, go to the road of Area 1, go to the left-hand side, and cross over to the right-hand side. Right? It's 2 a.m. right now, and cars are not really moving. Now, I now say, Bratemi, the day you cross that road by 2 p.m., without looking left and right, thou shalt surely die. Right? And one day he goes by 2 p.m. and doesn't check left and right and goes the road, and something happens to him. Am I the one that made that thing to happen to him? What did I do to him? I gave him a knowledge ahead of what was going to happen. Are they different things? It's different from if I now put another brother in one car. I say, you see, 2 p.m., yeah? You will cross the road. Just be running on 300. I trust him. He won't look left and right. Who killed him? I did. Are we together? But I say, make sure you look left and right. Because if you don't look, so it's like I'm giving you a warning. And if you don't hearken to that warning, something terrible can happen. That's what you call the wrath of God. Now, look at Genesis 3, verse 3. So, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Look at verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The only time a fruit from a tree can be eaten by you and you die instantly is if it is what? Poisoned. Are we together? So there was something that was to be eaten and there was something that was not to be eaten. Then God places or makes it clear to them what the repercussion of eating or not eating involves. So it means that you cannot stay in the middle. Hallelujah. 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 So, if you read Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15, without understanding Moses' initial understanding or template of life, of good, of evil, and death, you would most likely get yourself into a ditch. Hold on, we've not started. Okay? Are we tired? Are we following? Are you learning something?
Yes.
Beautiful. Now, so Moses, so it means that before you read Deuteronomy, everybody please look at me. Everybody look at me. So, I have said before you life and death. Was it a new concept in Deuteronomy or it started from Genesis? Everybody please look at me. The concept of death and life in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15, was it a new concept that Moses introduced to them in Deuteronomy or started from Genesis? All the scriptures we have read, is that not God presenting life and death? Good and evil. Are we here? But in the real sense, what did God present? Life and good. However, there is a repercussion that comes if you neglect that, which is what? Evil and death. Are we together? Let's look at another example. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the Sabbath of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, let's read verse 2 together quickly. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 3. You know, this is the verse we read from? Everywhere my leg steps into, taking territories. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at verse 4. We'll come back there. 1, 2, 3, go! That's not everybody reading, please. Everybody together, 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 5. So what is God trying to prove? He is an ever faithful God. Right? But keep following. Right? Keep following. Now look at verse 6. 1, 2, 3, go.
Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto thy fathers to
give them. Now verse 7. This is another verse we take out of context. Verse 8. 1, 2, 3, go. So hold on. This is an utterance that is bringing back to the four conscience of Joshua that which Moses instructed. Right? So look at verse 8 again. 1, 2, 3, go. The book of the law that is spoken about, is that the writings of Moses? Is that the writings of Moses? What were they to do to the writings of Moses? They were to meditate. So it means that you can read the writings of Moses and understand God's intent and God's plan. Are we here? Now look at chapter 8 of the same Joshua, verse 31 to 33, 34, 31 to 35. 1, 2, 3, go! 1, 2, 3, go, everybody together! Verse 32.
And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel.
33 together, 1, 2, 3, go.
And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side the ark, and on that side they called the priests, to prepare the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger, as that was born among them. Half of them over against Mount
Let the four together, 1, 2, 3, go.
And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and curses, according to all that is written in the book
Finally, 35 together. 1, 2, 3, go.
There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read, not for all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them.
Hallelujah. So Joshua built his doctrine on who?
Moses.
Are we here? So what was the foundation for Joshua? The writings of Moses. Let's look at one more person. Look at David. Remember, so the foundation of Moses is who? Moses. In the real sense, Moses' Genesis. Then the foundation of Joshua is Moses' writings. Then the foundation of David, let's see David. Look at David, Psalm 1, verse 2. Look at Psalm 1, verse 1. Let's read verse 1 and verse 2. 1, 2, 3, go, verse 1. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 2 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on. What did Joshua say that Moses told him in his writings? Thou shalt meditate on the books of the law day and
night.
So where is David teaching from in Psalm 1? Moses and who? Joshua. Are we here? Now let me ask you a question. Who was the first person to speak about day and night?
Moses.
So Moses spoke about day and night. Joshua spoke about meditating on God's word day and night. And Psalms now tells you, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate what? Day and night. So look at Genesis 26, for instance. Genesis 26:5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. Hold on. Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart from the mouth, but thou shalt meditate. To meditate doesn't mean to keep. Thou shalt meditate day and night. Does to meditate mean to observe in the real sense? Does to meditate mean to pay attention? Does it mean to observe? Does it mean to keep? So, where do you suppose David was teaching from? Both Moses' writings and what? Joshua's writing. Let me now say this. It means to understand David, you must read David alongside Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. Do you remember what we said last week? We said there's something called intercontextual what? Collaboration. Follow attentively, please. Yeah? So to understand David, we need to read Joshua alongside with Moses. Let's see something again in Psalms 33, verse 6. Psalm 33, verse 6 to 8. By the word of the Lord were the heavens what? Let's read together. Psalms 33, verse 6. 1, 2, 3, go. Where do you think this psalm is writing from? From where? Genesis, right? Does it not summarize Genesis 1, 2, 3?
Yes,
by the word of, and God said, let there be light, right? And there was light. And the Spirit of God overt, right? So, look at verse 6, verse 7. He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. Is that Genesis? Is that Genesis?
Yes.
And he laid up the depth in where?
Storehouse.
Look at verse 8. Let all the... So, remember, verse 4 speaks... Verse 6 speaks about heaven. He now comes to speak about earth in verse 8. Remember Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, all power in where? Heaven and in earth is given me. Where was Jesus teaching from?
Moses.
Right? And the prophets and the Psalms. Can you see intercontextual collaborations? Please follow. Right? And let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in what? awe of him. So Moses uses the word heaven and earth first in Genesis 1 verse 1. Uses that same word or that phrase in, look at Exodus 20 verse 11. Exodus 20, 11. For in 6 days the Lord made what? Heaven and what? Earth, the sea, and all that in them is. And he rested on the... So, the foundation for Exodus is where? Genesis. The foundation for Genesis is where? Please, are we following? Are we sure? Are we sure? Follow attentively, please. Yeah? And he rested on the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and what? Hallowed it. Now, the concept of seventh day and Sabbath. Do you think it was God that rested on the seventh day? For you to rest, doesn't mean you are tired. So can God be tired? So did God rest on the seventh day? Hold on. Hold on. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So, Moses writes in Exodus again, using Genesis as a foundation. Now, look at Moses again in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 26. Deuteronomy 4, 26. I call heaven and where?
Earth.
What's the foundation of Deuteronomy? Genesis. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereof ye go over Jordan to possess it. If ye, and ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. Look at chapter 31, verse 28, quickly. Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in thy ears, and call what? Heaven and earth to record against them. Hold on. So we're going to teach about what heaven and earth of Moses implies. Now write this down very importantly. God communicates his words to people in human language. God communicates his words to people in human what? Language. This is very important to what we are teaching in this series. God communicates his word in what? Let me ask you a question. Who gave God the name God? Eh? Eh? How can you say man gave God his own name? Who gave God his name God? He gave himself. He fell for it. You fell for the trap. Who started calling God God? Man. God is he by himself. He doesn't need a name. Let me tell you now, let me ask you a question. Why do your parents give birth to you and give you a name? Identification, to differentiate you from others. Are we together? So it should not look like your mother gave birth to two of you together, and before your mother wants to call you, she has to leave where she is and say, or say, hey. I want to say Ace. Four of you look together. I say Ace is the one in the middle. You're not starting team. One, two. So, the name God was given to God by men. Why do you suppose that is? At the time in Egypt, there were several gods. Are we here?
Yes.
Are we here? That is why when Moses... Why do you think Moses had an issue in going to meet Pharaoh? When he said, if I go there, right, and they ask me, who said, what should I say? Moses knew he couldn't go there and say God only, because they would say, which God? What did he say? I am that I am. You know, it's a Hebrew word, which we'll look at in this series. It's a word that means I am who I am, and I will be who I will be. That means I'm self-existent. I am who I am, and I will be who I will be. So that's the real meaning of who our God is, or the real person of who our God is. But because we want to use human language to communicate a supreme being, we call him God. Are we here? So God communicates his promises, his plans, and his wisdom using human language. Let me now tell you this. Why do you suppose that when we are teaching tongues and interpretation, we say it is to the degree of your understanding of the language you are interpreting it into? You cannot interpret tongues and use a word you've never known before. Let me say that. Did you get that? You cannot interpret your tongues and use a language you've never known before. Either you've known it by omission or commission. You shall knew the word before you used it. Are we here? Oh, imagine. And she understands only Yoruba, right? And she understands only English. And I want to interpret Yoruba to English. When she speaks a Yoruba, what will I say? If it's not clear, I'll say repeat yourself. Why? Because I want to try and understand what you are saying within the context of the vocabulary of my English so that I can communicate it effectively to him. Are we following here? Are we following here? So God's promise and God's word is communicated in human language. So it means that God is called God today because man gave him the name. Are we here? So it means that in our day and time, because God uses the immediate language of the people to relate with them, it means that when we are relating or reading the books of Moses, we need to sit where Moses' audience what? Sat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Imagine us writing a story today about APC and PDP. And 50 years from now, those parties don't exist again. For your children to understand what you are trying to say, they need to come back and sit in 2021. Are you following or have you gone home? Following, right? So they have to. You have to sit in the audience. Imagine your grandfather telling you a story about war. Huh? And he starts saying, wow, that's how we just light our candle. But some of us don't know what candle is. You know, some of you, actually, the only thing you know about candle is that it's for scents. Scented candle. Some of you don't know candle is light. Yeah, but your grandfather says, we'll just light our candles and we'll light it up together at once. Your child is just looking, candle. So candle can be light, can be used to bring light. Wow, when there's bulb and switch. So before your child understands what you are saying as a grandfather, yeah, he needs to sit where you sat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me ask a question. Am I the only one that thought that the earth used to be black and white before? Don't make it look like I'm the only one, because we have plenty. You're the only one. You know that not until recently did it dawn on me that actually in those days the clouds were blue like this and could see ourselves like this. That's the same pastor. Do you know what I'm trying to say? I always thought that in their life everything was black and white, and you know those camera things that used to bring it was all in their midst. I'm honest. I'm serious. I'm not trying to even make you happy. I'm serious. I thought that in those days, when they say Lord Lugard, all these pictures I see is white and black. So I thought his face was black. You know, do you understand? I thought that they were black and everybody was just black. Now I'm serious, man. I'm sorry. But in recent, I started realizing, oh, cameras are getting better. I say exactly. Some of you here, if I use one already and bring you out, I will find out those are in my camp. It wasn't called for. They can't make it look like I'm the only one that thought the life was black and white generally. No, a lot of us thought that way. Anytime I think of Eneshoneko, I just see him as that black man. I think I wasn't just thinking deep. So all the clothes that were made were black and white. Or they had a shade, overall shade of black and white. But I don't know that actually, so it means that 200 years ago, the entire clouds were as bright as this, and people could see themselves like this. Hallelujah. So it means that sometimes we need to understand those cameras. We need to sit where they sat. The first plane to fly by the Wright brothers, right? Yeah, it wasn't know, some of you, even if you don't know anything, as soon as I say yeah, you say yes. If I say who's the right brother now, you just come and say and connect it. It's fair plane before right. So they must be the inventors of plane. What are their names? Right, brothers. Too much wisdom has made the intelligent. Yeah? So I used to think, you know, that, oh, so it means that before we understand a lot of things that our forefathers will tell us, you know, I'm someone who loves history. Although it might be difficult for you to place that about me, I love reading past stories. I love going to museums. I love going to, you know, places to see how life was before. I like going to places where they've killed animals and they have their books and they say, this man shot him with one bullet. And, you know, I like all those kind of things. So I like paying attention to those things because it gives me a broader knowledge about how life has evolved over time. So when it comes to Bible study, it involves us understanding the generations and the time that they were in while those writings were what? Were made. So let me say it again. God communicates his words, his promise in human language. Are we together? Now, God spoke through people. Right? Is that true? Who are God's spokespeople? Let me ask you a question. What is the general name for God's spokesperson? A prophet. You see, a prophet, you see, in today's, let's look at something quickly. In today's time, you think prophet is the one that sees account number. I see you, brother, you have an account with GT. Can I go deeper? Can I go deeper? Let's go deeper, Baba. Huh? That man is a prophet of his generation. That man is a prophet. If that man sees for you, you know, it's unfortunate. That's what the church, or that's what we have been trained to want to look forward to. Look at Deuteronomy 18, verse 10, quickly. The Nabi, N-A-B-I-Y, is a word that speaks about a seer, or a spokesperson, or a foreteller, or an inspired speaker. I'll go over that again. A seer, a spokesperson, a foreteller, or an inspired speaker. Deuteronomy 18, verse 10. There shall not be found amongst you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of time, or an enchanter, or a witch. Right? Look at verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from amongst their brethren. Yeah, that's the word Nabi. Right? I will raise them up a foreteller, a speaker from amongst their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I have commanded. So who does God use as a spokesperson? Prophets. So a doctrinal explanation or meaning of a prophet is one who will speak the word of God, not one who sees vision. Did you get that? You know, some people say things like, oh, I've been called into the office of a prophet. And how do they know? They're always seeing vision. Yeah? Look at the next verse 19. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken to my words, who is the he that shall speak? The prophet, which he shall speak in my name, I'll require it of him. What is in my name? Upon my authority. Look at verse 20. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall... Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. You see, Moses just played with death anyhow. Do nonsense, prah. Do nonsense, prah. Yeah? So, because of that cultural slant, okay, we'll look at that gradually. Look at verse 21. And if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord had not spoken? Verse 22. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the things follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. So you verify what a prophet says by what he says that God says, and we see it come to pass. We will now let me ask you a question. Who was the first prophet in the Bible? Don't be too fast. Who was the first prophet in the Bible? Habba. When Moses was born in Exodus. How was he the first prophet? Is he older than Abraham? They born Moses before Noah. Say before Noah he was. The things which the Lord had not spoken, the prophet had spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Verse 23. That's the end, right? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 10. So prophets are seen as God's spokesmen or God's servants. Right? Look at 34 verse 10. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. So this I'm laughing at. It means that there's a lot to be taught from there. Let's see a few other examples. So prophets were seen as God's servant, God's spoke person or spoke people. Look at Amos 3:7. I know all of us know this one. Sorry. I thought we were together. Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servant, the prophet. What will be his secret? His secret will be his will and plan for salvation. Are we together? Let's look at one other example. Daniel 9 verse 6. Daniel chapter 9 verse 6. Never have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which speak in thy name to our kings, our princes and our fathers, and all the people of the land. Look at verse 10 quickly. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophet. So God's servants are his prophets. Are we together? So is God's prophet, let me not ask this question this way. How do you know God's prophet? The one that speaks the secret of God to the people. Are we together? Can a babalawo know what will happen tomorrow? Don't deceive yourself. Oh, you think this one of knowledge we are doing is only for Christians? No, what differentiates us is what we do with it. Are we together? Yeah. See, there are places where they wash their eyes and they will see. Somebody say, if you use dog urine and wash your eye, you will see. You say it's true. Do you see? Because the way he answered me, like, it's true. As if he sees. He said, if you use dog urine and wash your eye, you will see. What are they seeing? I've never seen. So I don't know what they are seeing. I don't know if it's true, but I've seen it in movies. They will put water and bowl and be watching what you are doing. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, knowing things ahead and knowing, they might not call it that word of knowledge, we are calling it. But they can bring from the back and bring information. So you don't know a prophet by what an unbeliever can also do. Did you get that? You won't identify God's prophet by what an unbeliever can always do. Because if someone comes and sees accurately and wears ties and suits, yet is an agent of darkness, you will not know if you are one who is only fixed on things that the eyes can see for proof. That is why what differentiates Jesus from an average prophet or an average miracle worker is the things he said after the miracles happened. There is always a message after miracles happen. That's why you always realize when we are doing word of knowledge, we say identify people and go and meet them and continue speaking. See, when we do word of knowledge, it's just like, hey, who is Samuel? Samuel, now go back to your seat. Who is Temi? Temi. I say Temi. I say Temi. Beside Temi, I say Timmy. Beside Temi, I say Dimi. I just say, go back to your seat. That's what they can see. Oh, no. You know, see, let me tell you something. Let me give you one of Joro today. See, when you are doing the things of the Spirit, even if you identify by the Spirit, somebody, if you identify somebody's details by the Spirit, yeah, if you are not sure, or if you've not really been able to perceive what next is the instruction for the person, just go back to the word. You hear that? That's an ojoro I'm giving you today. Just go back to the word, because the word is always an instruction to the saints. Do you get what I'm saying? You see, this is the sweet, you not hard. It's not hard. You just let me ask you. When we're doing singing by the Spirit, who sang here? The Spirit. Wait, it's not from your knowledge you sang here. You see, we have over amplified and made this thing so look ambiguous. We think it's shabalabla. Shabalabla. That is why when a man doesn't have proper understanding of scriptures, his interpretation of tongues will be error. Are we together? It is your understanding of scripture that fine tunes. That's what differentiates the believer. Some of you, let's begin. Taiwo. I hear Taiwo. Yeah, when he says singing psalms, it's from your knowledge. The only reason you can come and say, "Wonderful is our God, He has done the work of redemption," is because you know redemption is the word. And you know redemption is the work that Jesus did. The great work of salvation. What's the next thing? So we give thanks and praise to our God. And see, this is a sweet. It's not. You see, you are making it look as if you think I'm downplaying it. It's just the reality, yo. It's just the reality. Talk the interpretation. Is that the reality? God's word is always God's word in His word. So all you need to do is just, because the word, Bible says that the scriptures are given by inspiration. They are already inspired by God's Spirit. So if you are saying God's word again, as the Spirit said, you are in check. Because God's word is His Spirit. Are we together? So if you are one who knows how to die by fire, for the one who kills and makes alive, and it is not mother. It's not mother, it's father. You are the one that kills, and when you kill, it's not mother. And he spoke in tongues before that. So which one is correct? The tongues or the interpretation? The tongues is always correct. But interpretation, so we don't know a believer by tongues. We know a believer who is given to sound doctrine by interpretation. Do you get that? You know it by interpretation. You say, God is the one that kills, and when He kills, we don't call Him mother. Say, He has not killed your family member before. sometimes you say, God has not touched us. When you speak in tongues and say, "Oh, Rabbi Shandanabe," your tongues is always perfect, but interpretation is to the degree of your understanding of scriptures. Are we together? So who is a prophet? A prophet is one who will speak God's will. What is God's will? Let me tell you something. Let me help you. Yeah? This week, let's do something. I want you all to go home this week, at least 3 times this week. Pick your voice recorder and do a tongue interpretation. Okay? Now, let me help you. God's will for all men on earth is that they are all saved and come to the knowledge of truth. So it means that every time you give a tongue and interpret it regarding men coming to the knowledge of truth, you've spoken God's word and you've spoken by God's Spirit. Yes. Oh, yes. Are we here? Who is a prophet? The one who speaks. Now, let's look at a few examples. Let's look at the last example before we go today. He says, "I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets." Hallelujah. So, Abraham was the first person that Moses referred to as a prophet in the Bible. Look at Genesis 20, verse 7. Let's end there. Genesis 27, we'll continue there on Wednesday. Moses was the first person, Abraham rather, thank you, was the first person that Moses referred to as a prophet. Now, let's read verse 7 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Who is talking? Who is writing this? Moses. You see, Moses plays with the word die. Everything die. That's why Moses is your mentor. He was your mentor. You will most likely be killing people anyhow. Every satanic demonic power fighting me in Christ, they fought you to the point that they got you in Christ. They located you in Christ. They found you. So they found you in Christ. That's deep. Every satanic demonic power. Anything that is satanic is already demonic. But anything that is already demonic is witchcraft. So every satanic demonic witchcraft power. It's 3-in-1. Fighting me in Christ. What are you living for? Someone saw that catch fire and die. Why do you think our Nigerian prayer has some assault in it? Our roads are bad. Cars some assault regularly. So that thing which happens to people when they drive an hour there, they want the power. You know what I'm saying? He say, when we pray for people, when we pray die by fire, it's powers that want to die. He say, yes. And you know, let me ask you a question. I was born in them. Every time we are praying for people to die, we have people in our mind. We have their pictures. Let's stop lying to ourselves. Man, you're laughing. We have their pictures. Let's stop lying to ourselves. Once the man just put every broom of life that the devil has used to sweep away my favor. And as soon as they say broom, the mind is so constructive, you put your grandmother behind the broom. Hallelujah. Yeah? How do you know a prophet? A prophet is one who speaks God's mind, who speaks God's mystery, yeah? Who speaks God's will. So how do you know a prophet today? Is by how well he is giving to God's word. Are we here? So let's end in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4:11. See what Paul says. And he gave, look at verse 10. You know, some people cannot join God's palace because of the kind of prayer we pray. You know now? You don't know? Anyway, that brother just carry his one suit. I just come, I look at water, I say, I say, go, Colossians 1, verse 9. He's not the brother, his sister. I just go, he say, Ephesians. Now my eyes understand that might be full with spiritual wisdom. What is that one? I beg, let's go to where Jim. Yeah. Let the heavenly bulldozer, yeah, locate those people sitting on my benefits. Benefit boys. Let the angelic aeroplane crash on their building. Everywhere they are meeting, be it in the sky, be it under the water, let the Holy Ghost tsunami pick them from under, take them up. Is the environment you grew up in. And Nollywood doesn't even help matters. You know, if you watch Nollywood enough, consistently for 6 months, you'll be a wicked person. Mommy, you got a partake, right? You got a recruiter. I'm telling you, even one Hollywood for even 1 month, bah. If you watch Hollywood consistently for 2 months, you'll just be a wicked person. Because everybody is fighting. Because the first movie you watch is the husband that was fighting the woman. The second movie you watch is the mother that was fighting the woman. The third woman is their uncle. The next one is their cousin. The last one is their children. Who will you trust? That's how you see couples when they are praying among themselves. Every standing fire, they just want to look at themselves. And the husband, the man will look at his wife. Honey, why are you not praying? Honey, why are you not? Honey, you are not praying, no? You know, we just assume that people are doing us. No, Nigeria is in a poor state. Let me not lie to you. Even those that they're not doing. those that are not doing, Nigeria is, they are being done. They are being done by the country. Right now, we are not in a state right now in Nigeria where we say, let anybody that just gets into power at least steal and give us our share. Well, no, don't be godly, steal. Give us our palliative. People have done crusade now. My palliative must arrive. That's why there is never a time doing bad will be considered as good. Even when you think that the economy is bad. I saw a video of one pastor. He went to go and steal palliative. He said he's not stealing. He said he's going to take what belongs to him. Did they write your name there? Are we together? Yeah. So we must be careful to guard our hearts. We must give ourselves to Bible study. Else you'll just be a wicked person. You come to church, somebody greets you. You say, why does that sister greet me? Usually she'll say hello, hi. Now she's saying hello, good morning. And it was in the afternoon. Every time I see him, he's always saying good morning. What is happening? And you will now, God will now catch you. You're just passing one street, one man in the dustbin, a madman. You just say, there's someone that is telling good morning. And you too, you will not believe him. Things are happening to people. If the person, they say, our sister gave us one proverb yesterday morning. They say, the cockroach that is eating effort is in the effort. What does that mean? Saying the people that want your downfall are around you. They are close to you. Why will you trust people? God says, and he descended in the same also that ascended all far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11. Let's do verse 11 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Now, hold on. This word, some, they don't have a Greek translation in this verse. Are we here? If you have a good Bible, you see that it's in italics. Yeah, this word, some. The only some in this verse is this one. And the Greek word for that some is men. Men. And it's a word that means certainly, assuredly, or truly. Not some, which means a part of a whole. Are we together? If you read that verse in a layman English, what you are thinking about is that, and he gave some prophets, apostles, that he gave Sister Stephen Brayiri, apostles. He gave Brother Joshua. He gave him evangelists. He gave Brother Daniel, pastors. He gave Sister Ubong, teachers. Mm-mm. The other psalms don't have a translation apart from the first psalm. So the real word there, psalm, and he gave, is the word assuredly or truly. So he gave assuredly apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, which are teachers. Why? They all have a unique purpose. He didn't say they gave some prophet. Their purpose is to be seeing vision. Did he say that? See the goal of both prophet, apostle, evangelist. Look at it, go in the next verse. For the what? Perfecting of the saints. For the work of ministry. For the... In case you don't understand the work of ministry, look at verse 13. Verse 13, look at verse 13. 1, 2, 3, go. So the prophet is to bring us to unity of what? Faith. What's unity of faith in that verse? Doctrine. Teaching. Which is what? Knowledge of the Son of God. Now look at verse 14. That we, 1, 2, 3, go. So the prophet inclusive is to make you solid in God's word so that winds of false doctrine will not blow you. That means the work of the prophet in scriptures is not taught as one who sees visions, but one who what? Teaches God's word and says God's counsel to the people. Have you learned something today? We're going to build up on this on Wednesday. Pray in the Holy Ghost for a few minutes. Pray in the Holy Ghost.